Welcome to the Also AI Podcast. Discover the latest advancements in artificial intelligence through insightful discussions with industry experts. Each episode will bring a fresh perspective on AI and addresses the real-world challenges, opportunities, and interests you as an IT reseller might have or your customers could ask you about. Featuring experts from Also and leading vendors, we explore diverse insights on AI.
Welcome to the Also AI Podcast. I'm Frank Latzke, your host. Together, we'll go on an exciting journey into the future. Each season, we dive deep into different aspects of AI, showing you real-world applications and their impact. Every episode offers new insights and tackles new challenges and questions you and your customers face. As a leading technology provider, Also is dedicated to exploring the latest trends and innovations, driving the future of technology. In this first season, AI Insights with Microsoft, we meet with experts from Microsoft and Also. And in today's episode, which is a bit special, today we have three guests, and together we explore a partner story with AI. Warm welcome to today's guests, Tom van den Noord from Hello, Lea Lipovzek from Microsoft, and Zuriel Nesro from Also. Tom, would you like to start? What drives you, and where are the aspects of AI in your company?
All right, yeah, I'm the commercial product manager for data and AI, our division at the organization Hello. And what drives me, we work with a lot of SMBs, and we provide them with data solutions and AI solutions. And one of the parts of the AI solutions is Copilot. So what drives me is I have got a lot of contact with our customers and their wishes and the problems they have with AI and stuff and the challenges they meet. And we help them overcome these challenges. So that's where I am responsible from. And I come from the Netherlands, where we are active through the entire country.
Great. Hi to Lea. You're from Microsoft. What are your things you do there?
What I do here. So hi, my name is Lea. I'm based in Slovenia. I come from Microsoft, and in Microsoft, I'm modern work and security go-to-market manager in EMEA region. So I work closely with Also, and I work closely with selected partners in the Western Europe region in modern work, as we call it. Copilot is one of the focal points. So I'm super excited that I can be the driver of the innovation and the AI adoption in EMEA.
Great. Now the last one of the three, Zuriel Nesro. Hi.
Welcome everybody. I'm Zuriel Nesro. I work for Also Netherlands, and I'm there responsible as a partner account manager regarding to cloud and mainly Microsoft. It's like 95% of our revenue and our vendors regarding to cloud. And then we also have a couple of the different ISVs as well. And then I'm mainly focused on helping our partners achieve their goals and helping them also understand new technologies and new features that is Microsoft bringing to the market. And there is one big new thing going on for quite a while, and that's called AI. And of course, from Microsoft's side, is Copilot.
Yeah, great. Zuriel, you're sitting right next to me. You're from the Netherlands, but now you're in Zoos, Germany. Nice to have you personally here.
Yeah, thank you for the invite.
I got a little question. It's been more than a year since Copilot for Microsoft 365 has been launched. Can you share your perspective on how it helped you? Has it changed in particularly what problems were solved with the help of AI sort of things? Lea, you might start.
Okay, super. Thanks for the great question. Over the past year, Copilot for Microsoft 365 has evolved from personal productivity assistant into a strategic enabler of business transformation. It's no longer about drafting emails or summarizing meetings, although that's a nice feature, right? But it's about reshaping how individuals and teams work, how they make decisions, how they innovate. And one of the most immediate and universal problems that Copilot has addressed is time scarcity. So by automating repetitive tasks, Copilot frees time for high-value work. This has been especially impactful in roles where context switching or information overload are daily challenges. And internally, we've seen Copilot drive tangible business value. For example, in Microsoft sales, Copilot helped improve pipeline hygiene, accelerate deal velocity, and increase revenue per seller. And across the company, we use this thing called Microsoft Digital AI Value Framework, and we measure Copilot's impact on productivity, collaboration, and decision-making. And to conclude my point, Copilot has catalyzed a broader cultural shift. So it's not just a tool, it's basically a conversation starter about what is possible with AI.
Wonderful. So this was the answer from the vendor, the producer of Copilot. And now, Tom, you as a partner selling the software to other partners, what do you say to this?
Yeah, I agree with Leah for most part. What I see is that Copilot helps me personally in various ways. It forms content for me. I make a lot of product content. So if I Copilot helps me with that. So my productivity is much better than before. Besides that, I've got a lot of personally, I have a lot of appointments. I have a lot of calls from my car between appointments. And when I call and I have calls with my clients, I use Copilot to take notes. And before that, I just was in the car and just was calling with them. And I didn't take notes because I was driving, of course. But now Copilot does that for me. So it helps me personally to organize my meetings, also from the car without using my keyboard. But I see the value I take out of it, I also show my customers, and my customers also use it like that. So those are examples from things what I see happening the last year.
Mm. Great. Zuriel, something to add from Alzo side?
Yeah, I hear both valid making valid points, and also things that I see in the work field when we're talking to partners about Copilot. For me, it's all about giving me tools to getting jobs done faster and easier. Things because also what Tom has mentioned, when you're in conversation with somebody, you always had to have a pen in your hand or a note to write down. And sometimes you get lost in making notes and actually having contact with the person. And Copilot has helped me in that way to be more engaged with the persons in conversations and automatically getting those notes afterwards. To make some important following ups, or just to have a little bit of total view of what we have, what has been mentioned, or what is important to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. So AI helps you to focus on the stuff you like to do, and let the AI do the stuff that.
Yeah, that's I think it's not less important, but it's I think for most of my jobs is to have an interaction with people,
mm-hmm.
and therefore I get more time and by this tool to have really an engagement with the person or with the company who you're talking to.
Yeah, great, Tom. Hello has been highly successful in driving Copilot customer adoption. Could you share with the audience your strategy and the activities you find most effective?
Yes, of course. We are committed to security and adoption mostly when we deploy Copilot. What's important is that our customers use Copilot a secure way, because Copilot is like a search engine on steroids. It finds many data throughout SharePoint and Teams and stuff. And we want that if our customers use Copilot, that they don't create a data breach, for example. So we use scans and other tools and an adoption team to secure they start a secure way with Copilot. And the other thing we focus on is adoption. When you activate Copilot, some people think it's the holy grail and they can use it and it will help them immediately. We focus on the adoption part of Copilot. So if a client of ours wants Copilot, we want to know how that business works, what their strategic goals are, which departments they have, and if we look at that, then we advise them how to use Copilot efficiently to help them achieve their goals.
So you take your customers by the hand and show them not the obvious benefits, but also the benefits behind the curtain.
Yes. But also looking at who is our customer, how do they work? And if we know that, then we look back to the technology Copilot. How can Copilot help that customer instead of just activating it and let them run freely? Because you have to inform them how to use it. It's very important, because if you do that, then you achieve a better productivity with their people. If you let it go and they have to figure it out themselves, then we see that people are not using Copilot correctly sometimes, or not using it at all. And that doesn't benefit our client, but also the people who work there. So we want to help them achieve their business goals with Copilot.
Mm-hmm. Can you give examples on how Copilot can be used in different industries, such as healthcare, finance, or education?
For example, the education sector, Copilot can help convert learning material to students to the students' learning style. If you have got learning content, digital books or something, put them, for example, in SharePoint, ask Copilot to look at that learning content and create and recreate the content to a visual style of learning content, for example, so it fits the employee's way of learning or the student's way of learning. That's an example how you can use Copilot to achieve a business goal.
Tom, I got another question. Have you noticed any patterns among users who are more likely to start using Copilot? For example, are certain job functions more inclined to adopt it?
Yeah, I see many people in commercial positions, such as account managers, using Copilot more and more. They use it, for example, to prepare customer meetings. So they summarize the latest contact moments they had with their customer by asking Copilot, "Look at my mailbox. Summarize my mail contact with this specific customer for the last few weeks." And with that information, he goes to the appointment. So he's more prepared to go in that appointment. The other thing I already mentioned earlier was, for example, they use it. A commercial employee works a lot from his car because he goes to his customers. And before there was Copilot, he couldn't take notes when he was driving his car. Now Copilot can help him with that. So at the end of the day, when he does his administration, he can look at the notes Copilot took from all his appointments he did from his car, so he can be more efficiency. He can be more effective for his clients because he doesn't have to remember everything. Copilot remembers it for him. So that's a benefit we see when we look at commercial positions in the companies we serve.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's quite interesting to see more and more things open up that can be done with AI and save time and do things better. Leah, what industries are leading in AI adoption? What do you think are the reasons behind this?
There are actually several industries, and they are quite distinct and have their own reasons. So if we think about healthcare, In healthcare, AI is transforming diagnostics, patient care, drug discovery, and from predictive analytics in patient monitoring to AI assisted radiology, for example, the healthcare organizations are leveraging AI to improve outcomes and to reduce costs. And if we flip the coin and look into financial services, for example, which are also leveraging AI heavily, they're using it for fraud detection, for risk modeling, for personalized financial services. The sector's data-rich environment and, on the other side, regulatory pressure to improve transparency and efficiency make it quite a natural fit for the AI. And there is also retail and e-commerce is one of the main industries here, where they use AI in recommendation engines, in dynamic pricing, supply chain optimization, also to personalize customer experiences and streamline operations. I mean, we also have manufacturing, we also have technology and software. That's obvious. We all here are the, let's say, innovators that are piloting the technology. And why do these industries lead? One thing for sure is data availability. So these sectors do generate a vast amount of structured and unstructured data that fuels the AI models. Another one is that they're looking really at clear ROI. So AI delivers measurable outcomes like cost savings, like revenue growth and risk reduction. So that justifies the investments and help them invest even more and go in further. Another one is high competitive pressure. So in fast-moving markets like finance and retail, for example, AI is a differentiator, and companies who don't use it, they simply fall behind. Again, I've mentioned before the regulatory and operational complexity, for example, is something that AI addresses really nicely. So it helps dive in and make it smooth. And maybe one more reason is the workforce augmentation. So in industries with talent shortages, for example, like healthcare or cybersecurity, AI can help scale expertise and reduce the burnout.
Reduce the burnout. Perfect. Zuriel, well, this is not... As an account manager working with many partners daily, why do you think some partners like Hello are highly successful in driving Copilot adoption while others are less successful?
Yeah, I think Tom already mentioned this a little bit, but I think the biggest reason what I see with partners that are successful and partners are struggling right now when they're getting questions from their end customers regarding Copilot or AI in general is that they think just start with it and just put on the Copilot subscription and everything will change and magically the heavens will open. It doesn't really work like that. Mm-hmm. And I see partners across the board, if they're small, mid-size, or large, like Hello, for example, they're focusing on adoption and an adoption proposition. And from that point of view, they're really engaging with their customers to see, hey, this company and this particular department in this company, what are their biggest goals, but what are also like things that could affect getting to that goal, and really understanding the business of their end customer, and therefore using Copilot or AI to help their customer enable and to gain and to help them work faster, or to set up also different types of revenue streams, for example. So not only being there like the IT partner of those end customer, but also sitting next to them and thinking about this bit, their own business proposition and how AI is going to get to help them achieve goals regarding that. And I see the most successful partners really think with their end customers and really help them in that process, and not just putting on the Copilot license and disappear. And okay, we have the revenue is with us because we were selling licenses now. I think to be successful, you really have to think about the adoption. And it doesn't matter if you're small, mid-size, or large. Just think about the adoption process and how can you help your end customer achieve eventually those goals when they start using Copilot.
This sounds like a really good relationship.
That's the most important thing.
Giving and taking. I like that. Tom, how can users customize Copilot to fit their specific needs and workflows? And what support do you offer them?
What we're seeing is when you use Copilot and you want to achieve specific goals, specific needs, you have to engage with the customers, just like Azuriel just said. We want to know exactly how our customers work, and then we work backwards to Copilot to see how Copilot fits the specific needs of our customers, and then we can improve workflows and other stuff. Just that's how we do that. The key is adoption. If you do the adoption good and you know how your customer works and you are a partner to your customer, then you can achieve goals with each other, and that's how we do that. That's how we support them.
It's great to have a partner like Tom here on the episode today, because so often we have stories about helping that the AI is helping there and then it's doing better. Tom, can you share a customer story perhaps about their journey from decision making to implementation? Did it require any change management within the organization?
I can tell you a little bit. I already told about the sales example, so I don't think that that should be repeated now. But for example, how we do the adoption, what the journey looks like. We do a few things. We start with the readiness. Is the company ready to use Copilot? Are they secure enough? Do they know what the risks are? And have we mitigated the risk so there is no risk anymore? That's the first step we do. After that, we look at it strategically. So we want to know what are the strategic goals of our customer. Where are they at within 5 years? And how does AI fit in with that strategic goal? So we look at the chances of, if we know the strategic goals of our customer, we look at which chances does Copilot have to help to achieve that goal, but also which risks are there. So is the technology ready for it yet, or does the organization has to change a little bit to use this AI solution? And eventually, if we have, we work to a roadmap with our customers. So we can give them direction, which step by step helping them to achieve the goals with Copilot or different AI solutions. And one of the things I see a lot happening at the moment is many customers are creating data warehouses. They are, and why are they doing that? They're doing that so they are collecting data, but on a structured way. So they're putting the data they have, the imported business data, in the data warehouse. And normally they use Power BI, for example, to create new views of the data. But now they're working towards collecting the data and eventually using an AI solution of Microsoft to plug in on that data and create new insights. So that's one of the things we see happening at the moment. And that will help them with the decision making and stuff.
Yeah, I'm being able to work with data more fluently now with AI is, I think, a real great opportunity. Got a question for Zuriel and Leah. What feedback have you received from your partners or customers about adopting AI solutions? Leah, you might start.
Thank you. So the feedback that we are receiving about from partners and customers about adopting AI, especially Microsoft 365 Copilot, has been really rich. There is a strong sense of excitement about the potential, but also growing awareness of the need for structured enablement, for governance, for measurable ROI. Customers do appreciate time savings and productivity gains from automatic repetitive tasks, for example. The security and compliance built into Microsoft's AI stack And the tailored workshops and getting started offers that help them move from curiosity as such to value realization. And internally, we are using Copilot ourselves, obviously, to learn to improve the product. And this feedback loop from our between product teams and field sellers and customers is helping us really involve Copilot in real time.
Great. Zuriel?
Yeah, I actually have 2 points regarding feedback, and then mainly from our partners, of course, because that's the point of where I'm coming into this channel. Partners are really keen on getting more use cases, and particularly in various work fields. So, okay, for example, how can you show me, and that's like a question towards also, but also a question towards Microsoft, can you show us use cases in the financial sector? Can you show us use cases in the healthcare sector? And I think it's very important that we show those cases and use cases towards our partners, and then our partners can use this cases to their own end customers, where they are divided to various of businesses, and help them and learn them how to use Copilot and AI and enable those end customers in achieving those goals. So I think that's a very strong feedback that we received the last 12 months, and I see those use cases coming more and more. Also, we have to create them themselves by ourselves, but also Microsoft is helping us in showing those use cases. And then the other thing is, I think also a hot topic is security. How is the security set up when we start using Copilot, or better yet, before we start using Copilot? Of course, everybody heard the story about the salary of the director. That's the first thing that people will start looking up if security is not being done properly. That's also a big point.
That's the really good thing. The last thing, the salary of the big boss. Have your customers expressed concerns about data privacy? If you hear a story about the salary of the boss and the small one can look after it, if so, how have you addressed them?
Yes, we always address security to our customers. If they do not express their own concerns about it, we do it for them. We tell them about it. But a lot of our customers do have some, they read news articles and stuff, so they sometimes read stuff about AI that looks dangerous, so they ask us those questions for, okay, well, what's the impact of Copilot at my organization, what risks do we have if we implement it, and so most of our customers are aware of that. And they've got different reasons why. Most of all, they don't want their business information leaking out through Copilot to the wrong people. But also they don't want the information of their customers leaking out, so they can, they don't want to take those risks.
Thanks. Leia, how does Microsoft ensure the security and privacy of users' data?
Oh, this is a good one and really close to heart. We take great pride in what we do in terms of security. So when we talk about Microsoft 365 Copilot, it is built on the same enterprise-grade security privacy compliance framework that underpins all Microsoft 365 services. And that includes compliance with key regulations such as GDPR or EU data boundary and so on. Copilot does not use your prompts, responses, organizational data to train the underlying large language model. Your data is never shared with other customers, and Microsoft does not use it to improve foundation models unless your organization explicitly opts in. So that is not a negotiation. It's really, really strictly our policy. Copilot can only access the data that you already have permission to see, like your emails, documents, meetings, chats via Microsoft Graph. And it uses this context to generate responses, but it doesn't store or expose data beyond your session. We have multiple layers of protection, such as encryption, the transport layer security, authentication, authorization, tenant isolation. So really making sure that your data stays with you. And the admin in Copilot can manage data sharing settings, they can monitor usage, enforce policies through Microsoft Purview or other compliance tools. And features like dynamic watermarking or on-demand classification or endpoint data loss protection can help organizations to maintain control over sensitive content. So really, we do a lot to make sure that it's a secure solution that you don't have to worry about this one.
And this is great to hear. We've been hearing a lot about Copilot agents recently. For those who aren't familiar, could you summarize, Leah, what agents are and explain how you think they will impact the adoption of AI solutions?
Oh, this is a super exciting one. You may think as Copilot agents as the evolution of AI in the workplace. So when Copilot itself is a powerful assistant that helps you with tasks like summarizing emails, drafting documents, agents are specialized AI tools designed to handle specific business processes or workflows, often even autonomously. So they can automate repetitive tasks like scheduling or data entry. They can analyze large volumes of data. They can make decisions based on real-time inputs, or they can act independently to complete multi-step processes. Obviously, we have developed agents of our own as well. And in April, recently, we have launched several of them, such as Researcher, which is a reasoning agent that gathers, synthesizes insights from both internal and web data to produce really detailed and useful reports. Another one is Interpreter, that provides real-time translation in Teams meetings. It's super valuable. Project Manager, that helps planning in task execution in Planner tool, or employee self-service agents that helps with HR or IT policy queries in business chat. And these agents are being already used internally and by customers to reduce their manual work, to improve decision-making and scale operation. And they're really a game changer because they can lower the barrier to entry. So you don't have to be a developer to use the benefit of the agents. They solve problems super fast. For example, automating onboarding or customer service workflows. They can scale with your business. So you can start with out-of-the-box agents that are already prepared. You just click and you start using them. And then gradually you can build custom ones using the Copilot Studio. And also, they can empower every employee. So if I quote the Work Trend Index of 2025, it puts that we are entering in the era of agent boss, where every employee can delegate work to an AI agent and focus really on high value tasks. And to be a bit visionary with this one, because it's really, there are so many opportunities. We are moving toward a world where human-agent collaboration becomes basically the norm. These hybrid teams will be more agile, more scalable, more capable of delivering innovation at speed. So it's not about replacing people, really. It's about amplifying human potential with intelligent support.
So this potential on the street, Zuriel. How does ALSO support their partners in adopting AI solutions?
This is a very important part, I think, because we can start telling them, hey, you have to use Copilot, you have to sell it towards your end customers, but how are they going to do that? So, for example, we are giving workshops towards our partners. We have more sales-oriented workshops. We have more technical-oriented workshops. Telling our partners what are the possibilities with Copilot, what's the technical side behind Copilot, how they can use it themselves, but of course how they can use it towards their end customers and telling their end customers what they can achieve with Copilot. And we also work together with our partners. For example, we in some cases with some projects regarding some larger end customers, we can go with them towards the end customer and have conversations about the challenges these end customers have or the questions they have about Copilot. and really address them, and also afterwards make a plan with the partner, and also sometimes together with Microsoft to discuss this particular case of this end customer, and to help this end customer get really started with Copilot. Of course, there's the adoption side is very important, but also sometimes there are particular projects that they're in a need to have more information and more conversation before they get started with Copilot. But I think also one thing that we must not forget if we talk about partners, and Microsoft, and we as also as the distribution between those two parties, is it profitable for our partners to start selling and telling their end customers about Copilot? And I think that's also something very important to show towards our partners, and for example, telling them, hey, what type of promos they're currently running regarding Copilot. You know, for example, right now there is like a 15% promo for Copilot. It's important to mention it only starts when you start new Copilot licensing, and you have to start with at least 10 licenses or subscriptions, and then you get a 15% discount of your net buying price from also. So that's also important to give this information towards our partners because it has to be profitable as well for them to put their time and energy and focus on it.
Mm-hmm. To see the benefits of for a partner, to see the benefits of a product helps them dramatically sell the product to the end customer. AI is evolving so dramatically fast. Leah, I know that it's a little bit hypothetical, but what future enhancement or features can users expect from Microsoft 365 Copilot in the coming months?
The first one is definitely that agents are going mainstream. You can also expect a more seamless Copilot experience across Outlook, Teams, Excel, and Word, for example. AI-generated meeting notes will now be saved directly into CRM systems from Teams. Or pre-meeting insights will be enhanced from AI-powered summaries and action recommendations. Or data reconciliation in Excel is being automated, especially for finance team. So things helping even more the users. Furthermore, Copilot is becoming more powerful on mobile. So voice-to-document features in Word on iOS let users narrate ideas that Copilot turns into structured content, for example, or image analysis that allows users to upload a photo and ask Copilot to describe it or get extracts from it. Audio narration lets users hear Copilot responses read out loud, which is great for multitasking and accessibility, for example. We are also continuing to roll out Copilot in more languages, more geographies, including support for frontline workers, for SMBs, for nonprofit organizations. And this includes broader access and inclusivity across industries and across roles. And you can think of this enhancement as a shift from Copilot as a personal assistant to Copilot as a collaborative team member. So whether in sales, in finance, in marketing, in operations, Copilot is becoming more proactive, more personalized, and more embedded in your daily flow of work.
There's always more. Yes. There are so many things that are that you mentioned there that sound so interesting, and I'm looking forward to using them. Tom, for you, the question of the future, how do you see the role of AI evolving in the workplace over the next few years, particularly through your collaboration with Microsoft and Azure?
Well, I hope, I mentioned earlier also, we heavily focus on proper adoption, and I hope that Copilot will assist more and more with that. If I hear the story of Leah and what the agents can do already and what the future is of agents, I think that will be possible. I think, for example, Copilot itself or the agents within Copilot can help with the adoption of Copilot itself within a specific company. I think that's the future. It would be more adaptive to the specific company that uses Copilot. So it must be self-learning within the environment of that company to help to achieve the goals of that company.
A last question. Lastly, could you share one practical tip with our audience on using Copilot, something they could try right after this podcast? I would like to start with Zuriel.
Yeah, I think it was mentioned already by Tom and also a little bit by myself, but I think a really big thing is, hey, why not start using it when you have face-to-face business meetings or just meetings in general? Just put it on first. Ask for consent for the people in the meeting room. That's also an important thing, so they know they're getting recorded. But then it's very easily you get like a very detailed summary of what has been spoken in the meeting. It has been discussed, and of course, most importantly, to do actions from that meeting. Instead of having pen and paper or somebody being appointed during the meeting to make the notes. I think that's, for me, an obvious one. And of course, everybody knows the Teams meeting possibilities. I think that's been used largely. So that's a tip from me.
A good tip, and I like that. I use this, and this is really good. Tom, you have something?
Yeah, just start with using it. Simply play with it. Take notes, of course, within meetings, but also just press the button and ask questions. Learn how it works, and think about your daily work and how it. If you play it with Copilot a little bit. Then visionize how Copilot can assist your personal work each day, and try something else each day with it. Just use it and go from there.
Leah?
And I guess it's me. I love the tips from Tom and Zuriel. So my two cents, I suggest you open Microsoft Word, you click Copilot icon and type, create a one-page summary about our company sustainability mission, that's a topic close to heart, for the partner newsletter, for example. And you will get a structured draft in seconds. You can refine the tone, the length, the focus, simply by chatting at it. And it's perfect for marketers, communicators, obviously, but also anyone who needs to turn ideas into polished content really, really quickly. So that one you can try immediately.
I try it immediately after the podcast. So to wrap up, great summaries from all of you. For me, it has been a very enlightening and fascinating experience to get insights like this and understand powerful tools and capabilities that can transform and help businesses. Big thanks to our guest Tom van den Oort from Hello, Leah Lipovic at Microsoft, and Zuriel Neslo from AlsoHelp. At the time of my life to hear this.
Thanks for the invite.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
I hope today's insights have been both thought-provoking and practical for your future endeavors. Whether you're an IT reseller or just curious, I hope this episode has inspired new ideas and perspectives. Feel free to share your thoughts and ask us questions. All links, products details, and further resources can be found in the show notes and on the website. Thank you for tuning in to Also AI Podcast and the season AI Insights with Microsoft. My name is Frank Lutzke, your host. Stay curious, stay informed, and join us next time.
Also AI Podcast. Whether you're an IT reseller or simply curious, we hope today's episode has inspired new ideas and perspectives. The conversation continues beyond this episode. Share your thoughts and ask your questions. For more resources, links, and product details discussed today, don't forget to check out our show notes and visit our podcast website.